हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिकं हवामहे कविं कवेनामुपमश्रवस्तीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वम् ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् माहम् ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्व निराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सदेव सौम्य इदमग्र आसीत् एकमेवाद्वितीयम् सदेव सौम्य इदमग्र आसीत् एकमेवाद्वितीयम् Till now, what we have seen. Let us see first, then we can proceed. Reality alone was. So, Sat means the reality. Absolute reality alone was. What is reality? That which is always. That which is always is real. Which always means that which does not come, that which does not go, that which is always there without any change. So always there without any change means always implies what? It has no beginning, it has no end. So it doesn't undergo any change. Therefore, that which is there beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, alone is there. If when you say it has no beginning, which means it has no cause. Why it has no beginning? Because it has no cause. Therefore, the causeless, uncaused, beginningless, endless, changeless, alone is reality. So because it has no cause, it is also independent. It has no dependence. Had remembered these words. Why it is independent? If it is an effect, it has dependent existence. Isn't it? But it has no cause. Therefore it is independent. That which is of the nature of self-existence. Therefore, what is real? The word Sat implies what? Reality. Reality is that Yedu Parampurul. That which has no beginning, that which has no end, that which is there is no change, that which exists by itself, isn't it? So that which is has no cause. So causelessly, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, independently, that which is it always is the reality. This is the definition of real. So reality was, and that reality is implied by the term Brahma because of its nature of limitlessness. The word Brahma does not indicate the reality, it only reveals the reality in terms of its nature of limitlessness. How limitless it is? Time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. எல்லா காலத்திலும் எல்லா இடத்திலும் எல்லாமுமாக இருப்பது பிரம்மா. Understand? That which is of the nature of limitlessness. And that reality, Sat, with its power, as powerful reality, is implied by the term Sagunam Brahma or Savisesham Brahma or Sopadhikam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma, Savisesham Brahma, Sopadhikam Brahma, Maya Sahitam Brahma, Maya Avahita Chaitanyam Brahma. So in this Brahman, the entire Jagat, all the Jagat obtaining in the form of forms, names and functions remained unmanifest, undifferentiated, as one. In the form of the very power of Brahman, in the form of the very Brahman itself. So from this Brahman alone, this entire universe has come into existence. So the question was asked, is there anything that by knowing which everything else can be known? Yes, by knowing that Brahman, the Jagat Karanam, the entire Jagat can be known. The entire Jagat becomes known as it were. By knowing one thing, everything else can be known means by knowing the cause, all the effects can be known. All the effects become known as it were. Therefore, by knowing this Jagat Karanam Brahma, the entire Jagat becomes known as it were. To make it very clear, the very Prakriya, Srishti Prakriya is introduced in the Upanishad, and we saw how Brahman visualized, then thought may become many and multiply into many, and using its own power of Maya, so multiplied into many. I already told you the visualization should be taken seriously. Brahman visualized as it were. So through the power of Maya, Brahman first became Satri subtle elements. I told you in this Upanishad, in Srishti Prakriya, only three elements are mentioned. Fire, water and earth. Ap, tejaha, annam. The words used to mean these three elements are what? Ap, or you can say apaha, is a plural form. Apaha, tejaha, annam. Tejaha, annam. So what, these three words are used to mean fire, water and earth elements. The subtle elements were created, and each element has what sought, these elements were created, and from these elements, first subtle elements, subtle elementals also were created. So every stage of creation, Brahman visualized as it were and proceeded with the further creation. So from these, Brahman obtaining in the form of fire, water, earth, from these subtle elements, he brought subtle elementals into manifestation. So first Sukshma Bhuta Srishtihi, then Sukshma Bhautika Srishtihi. Subtle element creation of subtle elements then creation of subtle elementals. And what are the creation, what are the subtle elements we know? What are subtle elementals created out of these subtle elements? No? We have to, Upanishad does not mention it, we ourselves understand. All our subtle factors, subtle aspects which constitute the subtle body were created out of the subtle elements. How? So the sattvic aspect of the subtle elements, antakaranam and sense organs were created. And from the rajasic aspect of subtle elements, then pranas and karma indriyani were brought into manifestation. So in the subtle elements, all the subtle elementals in terms of antakaranam, jnanendriyani, karmendriyani, pranas, they all remain undifferentiated in subtle elements. So they had to be brought into manifestation. So this unmanifest, undifferentiated pranas, pancha pranaha, pancha jnana indriyani, pancha karma indriyani, antahkaranam, in terms of what ahankaraha, manaha, buddhihi, chittam, all of them remained as one undifferentiated in all these three elements, and then bringing them into manifestation, bringing the unmanifest forms, names and functions in terms of subtle powers of organs of knowledge, subtle powers of organs of actions, subtle internal organ of knowledge called antahkaranam, the mind, the physiological functions into manifestation is called bringing, making the unmanifest, undifferentiated forms from contraction into expansion. Okay, bring them into, that is called expansion. This expand, in contracted form, they remain as one undifferentiated, unmanifest. When they are in expansion, they remain manifest and differentiated. That bringing them from unmanifest condition to manifestation, bringing the from the contraction into expansion is called what? Vyakaranam. Nama Rupa Vyakaranam. And for these unmanifest, undifferentiated forms, names and functions which remain undifferentiated, unmanifest in subtle elements, but then to become manifest, to become differentiated, for the contracted things, forms and names and functions, for them to become expanded, thereby to become perceptible, manifest and differentiated, they need the blessing of Brahman. Because the elements themselves cannot become these sense powers. The manifestation is not possible. Just as from the clay, out of clay, for the clay part, form and name part, for it to become manifest, in the lump of clay, there is form, part, there is name, part already. The clay is not created, okay? The form is not created, the name is not created, it's already there. It has to be brought into manifestation. And for which it needs the blessing of the pot maker who has intelligence and knowledge for the form and name to manifestation. In the same way, these subtle elements also needs the elements also need the blessing of Brahma Chaitanyam for the unmanifest, undifferentiated forms, names and functions in terms of the subtle factors, subtle elementals, the sukshma bhautikani, karmendriyani, jnanendriyani, pranaha, antakranam to become manifest. And how does Brahman bless these elements? Brahman's blessing these elements is in the form of entry. Brahman entering into the elements is what? Brahman blessing the elements. So how does Brahman enter into the elements? Entry in anupraveshaha. Entry into the elements is not physical entry, physical entrance. Entry here is forming the reflection. So Brahman reflecting, from forming reflection in the elements is what? Entering into the elements. That's entering into the elements is what? Blessing the elements, thereby the elements becoming capable of the forms, names and functions, the unmanifest in the subtle elements becoming manifest. Okay? Therefore, expansion of the forms, names and functions from contracted condition for them to become manifest and differentiated, they need the blessing of Brahman. So now these elementals also are created. So sukshma bhuta srishti, then sukshma bhautika srishti. From there onwards, then further visualization takes place. Then he wanted to create, Brahman wants to create, Brahman means Ishvara. Why we call Brahman Ishvara? Don't forget the powerful reality is Ishvara. Look at reality as reality, it is Brahma. The powerful reality, Maya Shakti Yuktam Brahma, Maya Sahitam Brahma is Ishvara. Isn't it? Shakti Sameta Brahma. In the Shakti Sameta, Unnamulai Amman Udan Amar. Udan Amarna. Udan powerful. So Unnamulai Amman Udan Amar Annamulaya. So you say, Apita Kuchamba Sameta. Sameta. Sahita Arunachaleshwara. Isn't it? So what I have here, Brahman is Ishvara, you are the powerful, the Lord. Now visualized further to bring the gross forms, names and functions into manifestation. Again, there has to be Vyakaranam. This, okay, Vyakaranam, what? Unmanifest becoming manifest is Vyakaranam. From contracted condition, coming into expansion is what? Becoming expanded is Vyakaranam. And this Vyakaranam needs Anugraha, blessing. And the blessing is always in the form of entry. And entry is nothing but forming reflection, manifestation. So here again, so for creating the gross elementals, the gross elements have to be created first. So for creating the gross elements, subtle elements need to be grossified. for the grossification, what should be done? Only all the elements, individual, pure, each pure element has to become the mixture of all the three. So each element has to become the mixture of all the three. If all the three subtle elements are mixed together, then we get our three portions of the mixture of three elements. Now they are gross elements, okay? But now we see, but still we have to call gross fire, gross water, gross earth. How do you know which is gross fire, gross water or gross earth? They all got intermixed. Now we have mixture of these three subtle elements. Now they are no more subtle. They are all gross elements. But we have three portions of gross mixture of three, the elements means. So we, in keeping the predominance, the grass earth has half of its own and one-fourth of fire and one-fourth of the one-fourth of water, one-fourth of earth. So grass, water has half of its own, then one-fourth of fire, one-fourth of earth. In the same way, grass, earth has one-fourth of earth, half of its own, one-fourth of fire and one-fourth of water. This is how we got the grass elements. And from these grass elements, the grass elementals are brought into manifestation. Again, how? Anupravishya. That way the word anupraveshaha is very important. In Taittiriya Upanishad also we have this word anupravesha. Tat srishtva tadeva anupravishat. Tat srishtva tadeva anupravishat. Having created them, Brahman has entered into them to give life to them. That's what in Upanishad Taittiriya we see. So here also grass elementals are brought into manifestation. You see grass elementals. Now we can say, what can be the grass elementals which can be brought finally? Upanishad gave this Andajani, Jarayujani, Arjivajani, Swedajani, Udbijani. Remember, all these beings, all these innumerable, countless forms, names and functions which constitute this grass universe, entire grass also has been brought into manifestation. Okay. It has been created. And so, what Upanishad wants to say here is, the grass universe also, the grass elements and the grass objects here, grass elementals. Grass elements and the grass elementals can be reduced to three subtle elements. If we take anything here, any grass object here, whether it is a living thing or a non-living thing, any grass elemental product here, if you analyze what it is there, what is here, it can be finally reduced to three subtle elements. In the same way, grass element also can be reduced to subtle elements, because grass element is nothing but mixture of three subtle elements forms one grass element. So proportion may vary from one to the other, but still all the grass elements are reducible to three subtle elements. The same way elementals are also, what now, can be, the elementals are also nothing but reducible to these three subtle elements only. If you say what is here, sukshma agni, subtle fire, subtle water, subtle earth. If you remove these three subtle factors from these, all these gross forms, names and functions, all these functions will collapse, the forms will collapse, the names will collapse. Every grass element also, which means collapse, there is no substance called grass elemental form, name and function. Therefore, you can look at the whole grass universe also. Is what now? There is no such a substance called grass universe, grass manifestation, which is available for perception, it's available for objectification, it's available for enjoyment, it's available for description. We can describe, we write poetry, describing the beauty of things here, isn't it? Describing things, we are write poetry. So all these objects which are available for description, word description, they're available for thought conception, they're available for, sense perception. Therefore, we are available for objectification, they are available for experience, they are available for enjoyment, they are very useful. Therefore, we can remain entangled, we can remain engaged, we can remain in enjoyment. Therefore, they are very useful. Therefore, they seem to be very, very real for us. Very tempting, very real. How can I say this grass, entire waking universe, jagat, jagrat, prapanchaha, this grass manifestation is not real? Why it is not real? I tell you, Shastram does not say this world is unreal. There are many English translations, they say world is unreal. Shastram never say world is unreal. World is not unreal. What is unreal? You had sattva, you had to understand the definitions. I started with the word sat today. Purposely started with that word. No way. Sat means that which is always. That which alone is always. Always means, how to understand always, meaning of the word always? Beginninglessly, causelessly, endlessly, changelessly, independently, that, okay, that which is real, that alone is real. So everything else which has a beginning, which has an end, which undergoes a change, and which has a dependent existence is not real. That's all non-real. It's not unreal. What is unreal then? So what is real? What is non-real? Non-real is mithya, which is as though, and real is, okay, sat and asat, isn't it? We have this. But we have one more word there, tucham, that which does not exist at all. Pujya Swamiji elaborately discussed, who have finished the second chapter, the 3-4 times you have read. You all must be thorough. In the 16th verse, he says, Nasato vidyate bhavaha, na bhavo vidyate sataha, ubayoho api antaha dashtaha. No, tattva darshibihi, you must have studied thoroughly. Go to 16th verse of Bhagavad Gita's unfoldment. Shankara's Bhasham, Swamiji beautifully presents it. But carefully read Sanskritam words, okay? Gatta buddhi, you know, he will say all those things. So you don't get confused. What is real? What is unreal? What is non-real? Absolute reality, non-reality, unreal. Unreal is that which does not exist at all is unreal. Isn't it? That's why I taught you one long, long ago one verse. Hope you all remember that verse. Vandhya putraha yati shasha shringa dhanur dharaha mruga trishnambhasi snataha kapushpadhari. Now, the son of a barren woman, don't mistake me, I don't mean anything. Son of a barren woman, Vandhya putraha yati, is going. And holding what? Holding the flower of the sky. Kapushpadhari. How does he go? Just having had a dip in the mirage water. Mrigatrishnambasi snataha. Mrigatrishnambas. In the water, mirage water, snataha. He had dip. He had a dip in the mrigatrishnambas. And now he had plucked the flower, sky flower, akasha pushpam, kaf pushpadhari, this vandhya putraha yati. And how? Holding shasha shringa, holding rabbit's horn. This is the example for unreal. Okay? That which, one verse is enough, isn't it? Beautiful. One verse is enough. Vandhya putraha yati shasha shringa dhanurdharaha kaf pushpadhari mrigat trishnam basisnataha. Not in one thing exists, okay? That is why, so unreal means that which does not exist at all is unreal. Therefore, now we can understand there is no such a thing called non-existence at all. There is no such a thing called non-existence at all. The Tamil beautiful song is that illama endra ondru illai. You see the meaning, so deep. There is no such a thing called non-existence at all. There's a beautiful song, please go and check it. Illama endra ondru illai. Okay? Which means, what is what? What is? There only, we can say what? We can say there's no such a thing called non-existence at all. So what is real and what is non-real? So all these, the whole Jagat for us is absolutely real. For in our perception, why it is absolutely real? Why this Jagat is so real for us? I'm just taking you slowly, not in a hurry. Every step we have to stop and see clearly. Why this universe, waking universe, Jagrat Prapanchaha, why it is very real for us? It is not unreal. It is not unreal. It is not tucham. But we use the name mithya. Mithya means it is non-real. It is mithya means it's non-real. It is as though real. But as though real is not seen as though real. Non-real is not seen as non-real. We see it as real. Why we see this Jagat as real? Because it is gross, available for objectification, available for distinguishing, available for distinction, available for counting. My God, counting. We can count them. It isn't available for counting, the countables, and available for enjoyment, available for experience, available for thought conception, available for sense perception, available for word description, therefore so real for us. It is natural for you to think that way, but Shastram says what? In Chandogya Upanishad, don't get fooled, deceived, be careful. You know, all these forms, names, functions, they are not unreal. That is why we say what? They are relatively real. They are empirically real. Why? Available for experience and enjoyment. They are useful. They serve the purpose. They're relatively real. But the problem is you mistake the relatively empirically real, objectively real universe for absolutely real. This perception of the universe, error in the perception of the universe, is the problem, cause of samsara. Understand? Why we mistake it for absolutely real? I gave the reason. But how they're relatively real? They're only as though real. They're not absolutely real. Why we say they're not absolutely real? Because there's no substance for, there's no substance here. All these gross forms, names, they do not have substance of their own. Why? If you remove the substance from them, if you analyze each gross form here, each gross elemental form is a modified form of the gross element, therefore can be reduced to three subtle elements. If you remove the three subtle elements as the substance, and all the gross elements, elementals, will lose their existence. They are not there. They don't have substantiality of their own. Understand? And now, what the subtle elements are again? The subtle elements are also products of Maya. Brahma Shakti. Therefore, they can reduce to power of the reality. And the power of the reality is a thing but the reality, inseparable from the reality. Power of reality is the reality. And the products of power of reality also are a thing but reality. Therefore, all these forms, names and functions, the entire gross manifestation also can be reduced to the reality, Sat Brahma. Therefore, what was before was Sat Brahma. What is now here also is Brahma. Okay, Brahman alone is. Only difference between before and now is, before the forms, names and functions were unmanifest and undifferentiated. Now the forms, names and functions are differentiated, manifest. But whether these forms, names and functions, whether all the subtle, imperceptible forms, names and functions obtaining in the form of subtle universe, in terms of the total, the antakaranani, indriya, yanendriyani, karmendriyani, pranaha, they were also unmanifest. And all his gross forms, names and functions also were unmanifest. So all unmanifest, undifferentiated also, unmanifest, undifferentiated, uninteractable forms, names and functions also never existed outside of, independent of the reality. The manifest also, they do not exist outside of the reality independently. Like the still, poor logic, please accept it. Like the stillness doesn't exist outside of the water, like the forms, names and function waves do not exist outside of the water, the Jagat manifest, Jagat is nothing but unmanifest forms, names and functions. Unmanifest is called Maya, manifest is called Jagat. Okay, forms, names, functions, Nama, Rupa, Karmatmakam Jagat. What is Jagat? Define the Jagat, form, name and functions. Nama, Rupa, Karmatmakam Jagat. Obtaining with this differences, what difference? Knower known duality or knower known knowledge, Triputi Bheda, threefold differences, or you can say the multiplicity, isn't it? Or we say what now? Jiva Jiva Bheda, Jiva Jagat Bheda, Jagat Ishwara Bheda, Jiva Ishwara Bheda. Understand all these differences are what now? Seeming differences. Not real differences are not there. So all the, with all these differences, this Jagat unmanifest is called Maya, Maya manifest is called Jagat. What is Maya? Name given to the power of reality. The power of reality manifest is Jagat. Jagat unmanifest is Maya, the power of reality. In that power alone, understand now? Therefore, there is no power outside of the reality, and there is no Nama, Rupa, Karma. All these differences, not outside of the reality. Therefore, the whole Jagat is Brahma. Thereby knowing that Brahman, the whole Jagat becomes known as it were. It's a lot of repetition only. I don't deny, but I'm taking you step by step. Hope you see where I'm taking, how I make you see. And to make it clear, Upanishad, using its own chandasa logic, it helped us see, in the last class we saw, it took some luminous bodies, fire, then sun, moon and lightning. Example, will give the examples and made us see, and each element is said to have a given its own color, rupam, isn't it? So we say the dark color is an indication of the earth element. Dark, the term used here is Krishnaha. Then Shuklaha, the white color is indication of water. And red color stands for fire. So Upanishad showed us how those three subtle elements alone are present, the three subtle elements being manifest in every gross element and elementals in the form of three different subtle color differences in everything. So there is Shukla Varnaha and then Krishna Varnaha and Rakta Varnaha, Rohita, Rohita Varnaha, Rohitaha. Three colors are there found in all these elements, fire element and these elementals also, which means everything here can be reduced to three subtle elements, which can be reduced to finally the power of the reality, Sat Brahma, and which is non-separate from Sat Brahma. Therefore, the power also has no independent existence. Therefore, the manifestation of the power also, what now, has no independent existence. When something does not have independent existence of its own, it cannot be counted. It is non-countable. And non-countable, therefore you can't say second thing is there. So you have to say Brahman alone is. Brahma eva. Brahma eva asit. Brahma eva asti. Eva nata. Paramparul mattume irundadu. Paramparul mattume irikkirundu. Understand now? Brahma eva asit. Brahma eva asti. Reality alone was, reality alone is now. With this manifesting its power, revealing its glory, look at my glory, how glorious I am. Understand? It is the power which makes it what? Glorious. That is why every manifestation is glory of Bhagavan. Now we understand why you do have Vibhuti Yoga in the 10th chapter. And even though Vibhuti, you appreciate Vibhuti Yoga also, you have certain understanding. The presenting. In Krishna, there's a presentation of Vibhuti Yoga. Everything is Bhagavan's glory. Which means the whole Jagat is Bhagavan. Everything is Bhagavan's glory means, though everything is Bhagavan, everything is Bhagavan's vibhuti only, therefore Vishwarupa Darshanam in the 11th chapter. Why there is Vishwarupa Darshanam? It is only for us to see what is presented in the Srishti Prakriya, to little pay attention, is more for our own dhyanam, for us to see how everything is that. Okay? It is in the process, when you are in the process of knowing, it's all useful. Once you've understood, then you don't need whole Gita also. I'm just telling you why, after Vibhuti Yoga, why Krishna presents Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga. Now you see, other when you read sometimes, even I used to think, my God, I am this. But really speaking, you can appreciate the beauty of it in the light of this teaching. Okay? So, we saw that. Now, this is very clear. Okay, all that is here is Brahma. Now, we wants to further, it continues here. Now, not only the whole Jagat is Brahma, not only the Jagat is nothing but subtle elements. The whole Jagat can reduce subtle elements. What about the Bhoktu Dehaha? Bhogya Prapanchaha is objective universe. Isn't it? Objective universe, available for objectification, enjoyment. Not only this is the products reducible to three subtle elements, elemental model. What about your physical body? This individual experiences gross body, bhoktru shariram, just as bhogya prapanchaha, some of the entire objective universe is elemental model. In this bhoktru shariram, the experiencer's physical body mentions complex also is what now? Nothing but three elements only. Reducible to three subtle elements. One thing I didn't tell you is the grossification in this Upanishad is called Trivrit Karanam. Okay? Combination of 3 into 3 is called Trivrit Karanam. Combination of 5 into 5 is what? We say Panchi Karanam. Okay. That's not a very important thing to say. So how to know that this subtle body, this individual's body also, nothing but the elements. Here open presents little differently. Like a story I'll tell you, then I go to the mantras. If you see, earlier we saw the three colors. No? That Rohitaha, Shuklaha, and Krishnaha. The red color, white color, and dark color. We can see these three colors, indication of these three subtle elements being manifest in all these objects. Just by giving three examples, Upanishad reduce what now? From here you can understand, even in the objects where you cannot, these colors are not clearly seen. In some places not clearly seen, in some of them not at all seen, still you can understand all of them are reducible to three subtle elements. They may finally reducible to Brahman only. Well, what is there is only Brahma. Now, take this when you analyze your own physical body maintenance complex, here we see this body maintenance complex, analysis of the body maintenance complex is called what now? Adhyatma Vichara. First we had Adi Bhuta Vichara. Now we have Adhyatma Vichara. Because we are also here now sitting, because having strong identity with this body. There was special analysis is made here. What Adhyatma Vichara here? Adhyatma Vichara means analysis of one's own individual body, mind sense complex. Instead of giving the colors, here, don't know, complexion is mentioned here. Auntie once gave a story, okay? Somebody told her a story, her aunt or somebody. It seems, who became Europeans, who became Indians, and who became Africans. You don't take it seriously, okay? That's a joke. They were making some vada or something. They put it in the oil. They left it for a long time. Became very dark. Oh, then she threw it, okay. They only became what? And then, the frying, not allowing it to become dark. They took it out soon, white. And they are not properly cooked, let us say that. They are not sitting in England. They all became white. Subtly. That's a nice way of putting it on. Then, sometimes, not properly cooked. So, left for some more time, adequately, properly, edibly cooked. And the browns. Don't take it seriously, okay? Because I still light it, that's why I'm telling you. But let's not tell, nobody's undermined, okay? But all are the same dough. Same dough, okay? Dough is the same. Whatever the ingredients used, same kalava. How the difference only in the frying, okay? Substance is the same. Same vadamavu. Okay. So here, instead of using the colors for indication, here Upanishad gives what? Which says, the each element has three ingredients. What are the ingredients here? The factors here. Now, ingredient means, I use the word ingredient. The Sanskrit the word is more, the most expressive word is dhatuhu. Each element has dhatutrayam. Dhatutrayam is there in each element. We don't say here, sattvajastamas here, dhatutrayam. Dhatutrayam means trayaha dhatavaha pratyekasmin bhute bhavanti. In each element there are three factors, three constituents. Very subtle. Okay. And what are those? We call it, there is one aspect of the element is called, you know, one part or one in aspect of the element is stavishtaha. The grossest aspect of the element, then subtlest aspect of the element, then in between aspect of the element. What is in between? The grossest aspect of the element is called stavishtaha. Stavishtaha bhagaha. Grossest portion, the grossest aspect of the element is called stavishtaha. Stavishtaha is a superlative degree. Sthulaha means, literally sthulaha means fat. Okay? But here sthulaha means gross. Staviyan means grosser. Stavishtaha means grossest. So gross, grosser, grossest. How do you say? Sthulaha, staviyan, stavishtaha. So each element has what? Grossest aspect of it. Stavishtaha. Upanishad does not use the term sthula, staviyan. Stavishtaha. Okay? Stavishtaha bhagaha means this grossest aspect of an element is called stavishtaha. Then there is a anishtaha. Anishtaha is the subtlest aspect of the element. In one element itself, you see what? Subtlest aspect, you see the grossest aspect also. And in the same element, you see in between aspect also. It is neither subtle nor gross. In between also is there. Understand? So that in between, madhyamaha bhagaha. So stavishtaha bhagaha, madhyama bhagaha, then anishtaha bhagaha. Anishtaha is also a superlative degree word, a subtlest, which means there are corresponding other words. Anuhu, anuhu. You came across the word anuraniyan, remember? Anuhu means subtle, aniyan means subtler, anishtaha means subtlest. Anuhu, aniyan, anishtaha. Subtle, subtler, subtlest. Okay, don't get into too many words now. Now what we need is, each element has grossest aspect of it, subtlest aspect of it, and in between aspect of it. Madhyama. Okay, sthulatamam, sukshmatamam, madhyamam. Sukshmatamam is anishtaha, anishta bhagaha. Sukshthulatamam is tavishta bhagaha. Then madhyamam, in between. So fire, water, earth, all the three have these what? These three portions. So each element, listen now, has these aspects. Now, we have to understand which aspect of the element contributes for the formation of which part of the individual? Which part of the element contributes for which part of the individual body? Individual, the sthula, individual, vyakti, we have the whole individual body dimensions complex here. It says, Upanishad says, the annam. What does the word annam mean? Chandogya Upanishad, annam means earth element. So this sthulatamam is tavishta bhagaha. This, when we eat food, we only eat food, isn't it? We simply eat food. We eat everything. Everything means what? Anyway, we cooked, uncooked, raw, the salads, or cooked food, or baked, or half-cooked, or fried. Somehow, you convert the poor plants, crush them, kill them, and eat. Where no other go. Not only, sometimes, if possible, we will kill and eat them. We also kill which won't run away from us. Posthavaraha is stand. Sthavaraha means which stands, which doesn't move. Unmoving is called plant sthavara. Jangama, the mobile beings. They will catch poor hen, chicken, fish, the birds, water, all those, whatever, you know, goats or beef. Poor, no, somehow, that is a different thing. Completely. But I tell, sthavara, they don't run, they stand there. Sthavara also, one now, we eat, we convert it into different forms, make it, you know, spice, everything we eat. But we, when we cook it, how we eat? Tasty. We care for the taste of it. Of course, we have to care for. Shastram says, the food we eat should be tasty. All the six taste buds should be woken up. Only then intellect will be sharp. Okay? If you don't feed, doesn't mean you should work too much. That's why not too spicy, but too bland. It should be what? In between. Moderation. So that it is good for your health. It should wake up all the taste buds. Why you should understand why you should eat tasty food? Otherwise it will be duds. They should be woken up. Brilliance means what? It's all brightening up of the intellect. So the food you eat must be healthy, tasty, isn't it? Now also even look, when you look at it also, it should look nice for us. Pleasant, isn't it? Pleasant looking, tasty, healthy food. Therefore you should eat. But we eat only tasty. So here Upanishad says beautifully, which aspect of the, now take the first annam, earth element. Annam has what? The grossest aspect, subtlest aspect, and the madhyamam aspect. Which aspect contributes for which? He says, the food we eat, the annam, the earth, the grossest aspect of the earth element contributes only for the taste of the food. Okay, contributes for the taste. Which means it contributes for what now? Only the tongue, taste. So we are able to taste the food. We are able to taste the food because of the grossest, you know, grossest aspect of the earth element. We are able to taste the food. But this taste means what? We taste it, which means it also goes. It gets excreted as the unwanted, useless, no, stool. Body, no? It means it contributes to the taste, but still, it goes out. What is the food which is taken in, it gets excreted, isn't it? So the grossest aspect of the earth element contributes for what now? The tasting taste of the food. Then It also, then it gets, it goes down completely, doesn't stay, excreted part. Water is eaten, tasted, goes through the digestive system and gets excreted through our, is it? That's called what? That is the stavishtatamam, stavishtam, sorry, stavishtabhagaha of earth element. Once I tell you a story like, then I have to take you to the mantras. Because mantras don't tell you clearly like this. Then we have in between, isn't it? The sukshmatamam, the anishta. What's the word? Anishtatam, anishtaha bhagaha. Or sukshmatamaha bhagaha. The subtlest aspect of the earth element goes for, contributes for making up of your antahkaranam, mind. It goes up, it contributes for the making up of the mind. Understand? So whatever you eat, that is what? So it's the anna means earth element here. The subtlest aspect of the earth element alone contributes for the making up of the antahkaranam. So anishtam bhagaha of the earth contributes for the mental makeup, and the grossest aspect of the stavishtam bhagaha of the earth contributes for the taste, and then it gets excreted in the form of mala. Then madhyamam, what is madhyamam? Is it? Madhyamam alone remains here in the form of blood. Now, madhyamam remains. Madhyamam comes. I'll tell you. So, madhyamam remains in the middle. It doesn't get excreted. The same, let me tell you, the other three also, let me tell you. In the same way, we have the grossest and subtlest, we'll see first. Then what happens to the water? The water also has the grossest aspect, subtlest aspect. So, stavishtaha bhagaha, then anishtaha bhagaha, then madhyamaha bhagaha. So, the water, the subtlest aspect of the water alone becomes the prana. See, the pranas are what actually contribute for the forming of the pranas. Subtlest. Subtlest aspect of the water contributes for the forming of the pranas. The grossest aspect of the water gets excreted as your urine. Grossest aspect of the water gets cleansed, contributes for cleansing, thereby it gets cleansing, it gets excreted in the form of urine. So what remains, which aspect of the water remains in your body? Subtlest remains as what? The prana. Subtlest remains as prana. Subtlest of the earth remains as your antakaranam. Is it? The grossest get excreted in the form of urea and urine. Coming. Now we have one more thing. So, earth, water, the fire. Madhyam. The fire, Madhyam coming. That is, first the grossest and the subtlest. Now we have the fire. The fire element, we don't directly consume fire here. The fire obtaining in the form of fuels. oils and ghee, etc. If you analyze what is ghee, what is oil, it's all vegetational, isn't it? So they all stand for fire element. So fire element alone, in the form of all this fat, okay? Therefore, the fat contents here, so the grossest aspect of the fire element. Actually here, all the three are useful. I think it's excreted here. The subtlest aspect of the fire element becomes vaak, the power of organ of speech. Your organ of speech is what? Subtlest aspect of the fire. So here, let the grossest aspect, so all these subtlest, grossest and in-between aspects of these three elements alone contribute for formation of this whole body, mind-sense complex. You can see, reduce this into what? There in external objective universe you see in terms of colors, here you see in terms of your own powers and the body here. Suppose the food what we eat, for example, when we eat the food, we think of how tasty the food is, how healthy the food is it? And looks we don't care sometimes. These three definitely we take. Healthy and how tasty it is. If we care only for the taste, sometimes it can contribute for just for the taste, may not contribute for the health, may not be good for health. Sometimes maybe it is very healthy, but it might be tasty. Some are tasty and healthy also. Like bitter gourd. Very healthy, but not. And we have to lot of hard work to make it tasty. Add some things. But healthy, but not tasty. Some are tasty, but not healthy. When we look at it, how do we look at the food we eat? If we look at the food, the standpoint of, now suppose only the where we care, as ignorant people, we take care only for the taste part of it, taste aspect of it. But the doctors who see more than what ordinary eyes can see, because with more knowledge of medicine, more knowledge of the system, they can see what is good for your health, physical health. But Shastram sees also what is good for your antahkaranam, mind also. Okay? Definitely what is good for antahkaranam also. Sometimes what should be used as a medicine should be used only as a medicine. Suppose we like the taste of garlic, onion, we like it. Why? Tasty. It adds, sometimes people like it, okay? People think it's tasty. And it is also the flavor people like it. Okay? It's good for health. It really is good for health. But it has a medicinal value. Lashunam vata nivarakam. Why I'm saying here? What food we eat, in that food, in the garlic also, the subtlest aspect, there is a grossest aspect, there is madhyama, isn't it? Is there? Because that alone goes for what? Antakarnam. But the lashanam is what? It has its own problem. Lashanam is good in reducing cholesterol, physical health, it contributes good, does good. So eat enough. One flake for the whole family in rasam. But not one kilo. If you eat finished, okay, it is, why? Because you meant for the mind, because subtlest aspect contributes to the mental makeup also, it will dull the mind, it will obstruct the sharpness. I'm not saying you should not eat. If you want to become senile, forget everything, eat garlic 3 times a day, half a kilo finished. Ranaji once told me, 20, not, of course, he no, told what the, what we all must be knowing. Suppose that the 24 20 parastamas we eat once, what once finished, we can go. We can say goodbye to everybody. But if we eat like that garlic, eat garlic and see what happens. You'll ask, am I here? Which means that will be the condition, okay? Too much of garlic. Okay, anything, alavakniyam amritamai nanja. Why I'm saying, that's why you have, when you eat, now you understand the fact, the subtlest aspect of the, in all the plants is what now? There is earth element. Why all the plants, food is aushadam, isn't it? Aushadam, food is aushadam, medicine. Why is it called aushadam? Oshadibhyah jatam. It is born of plants. Oshadhihi is a plant, vegetation, a vegetable. Oshadibhyah, herb, herbal, medicine. Is an aushadam. Aushadam means what? Not only the tablet is aushadam, medicine. Food also is aushadam. Oshadibhyah jatam aushadam. Oshadihi is a herb, plant, and aushadam is food. Okay, modified form of the plant energy obtaining the form of a food is what? Aushadam. Why you call food aushadam? Become medicine because it cures the disease of sickness. And what is the disease? Anything which causes discomfort is disease. It disturbs your easiness. Therefore, the food when you eat, it cures the disease. It removes the discomfort caused by hunger. Hunger is what? Discomfort. And the discomfort has to be removed. So therefore, anything which causes discomfort is disease. Your hunger is disease. Thirst is disease. When you're thirsty, are you comfortable? Very thirsty, you are comfortable. When you're very hungry, are you comfortable? No. It causes discomfort. So anything which causes discomfort is disease. It affects your easiness. And that which removes the discomfort is what? A medicine. The curing medicine. Therefore, it's called aushadam. Understand? Therefore, food is aushadam. It removes the discomfort caused by the disease of the hunger and thirst, etc. Therefore, when you eat, the earth has three subtlest, grossest and in-between aspects. Therefore, all the plants have what? The subtlest, grossest and in-between aspects. And when we eat, the subtlest aspect of anything you eat contributes for your mental makeup, and the grossest aspect contributes for what now? The taste, and goes out of you, out of the body, and the in-between aspect remains in the body. So here, the in-between aspect of the earth element becomes blood. Blood. So, grossest contributes for the mental makeup, in between becomes the blood, and the subtlest aspect of it. The subtlest aspect becomes the form, contributes for the mind, the grossest gets excreted. So, same way, the water also here. Therefore, when we are eating food, when we should see any subtlest aspect of anything goes for the mental makeup. Therefore, the food we eat, definitely we have to take care of it. We should see whether it is good for my health. Definitely, we should eat a tasty food. You don't need to eat an insipid, tasteless, bland food. It does not mean you should make it too spicy also. You eat healthy and tasty, healthy in the sense, not only for the... So the doctors can tell you what are all good for the body because they have their focus on your physical well-being. Of course, very, very important. Suvarai Vaitya Sitharamayadha Vandam. Physically unhealthy, what can you achieve? Nothing can be accomplished. Physical health is very important, so their advice is okay. But we have to also take Shastra's advice to take care of our mind also. Otherwise, physical body, health of the physical body itself is for what? For living. Only living in this bhoga ayatanam, you have to using the enjoyment, instruments of enjoyment, enjoying the world, learn the imitation of it, and divert attention towards yourself, discover moksha, only with the help of the mind. Therefore, for moksha, for discovering moksha, for discovering yourself, discovering the truth, isn't it? You need, ultimately, the physical health has to be taken care of for the sake of discovering Bhagavan living in this body as yourself, isn't it? Which means, ultimately, your mind also is important. Therefore, what we eat should be good for your mental health also. That is what is implied here. Listen, let us read the book. And as we read, we'll find out. I'll tell you everything here. Is clear? So now we have finished the Adhibhuta Vichara. What is this objective universe? Jagat is Brahma. Now what am I? Jagat is Brahma, fine. What am I? Because we still think what? We're all individuals. Oh, the whole Jagat is Brahma. We already must have understood that what? No, Jagat is Brahma. Body, mind, and complex also is part of Jagat. You could already understood easily that this is also Brahma. But still, Upanishad wants to tell us separately how to reduce this body, mind, and complex also is reducible to three subtle elements. How are the three elements here in the body? Which aspect contributes for formation of which part of the body? Individual. Is it subtlest aspect alone contributes for the formation of the mind. Grossest aspect gets excreted. In between aspect remains in the body. And who does this job? Samana prana. Understand? And you can ask the question, my God, this samana has a tough job, you know. Is apportioning of the aspects. Like the subtlest has to go up, the grossest has to go downwards, in between has to remain here. You always, when you put something in the water, anything light in weight floats, no? It doesn't go inside. Anything heavy, what happens? Goes down. The lightest thing floats, heaviest thing goes down in the water. The same way here also. And I don't give the example, Upanishad gives the example. If you ask the question, how does Samana Prana do this? It is that everything you analyze, you see Ishvara. Oh my God, what knowledge. We are not Bhagavan. No, there's no consultant sitting giving advice. Isn't it? Everything is happening. Okay, I'll finish it soon. So everything is happening here, isn't it? There's no consultant sitting and giving advice, how to do, what to do. Guide, there's no guide here. So Upanishad gives an example. Let me tell you that also, then I can go to textbook. How does Samana Prana distinguishes? Now, does this job of apportioning these aspects? And how the subtlest aspect contributes for the mental makeup, how the grossest aspect gets excreted, and how the in-between aspect remains in the body. So we call dhatu trayam, trayaha dhatavaha. I don't know how to translate the word dhatu into English. That's why I say pole, okay, some aspect, etc. Dhatu. Each element has its own dhatu. Three dhatus are there. Because sukshmatamam dhatu, stavishta dhatu becomes manaha. Stavishta dhatu becomes excreted. Sukshmatama dhatu, anishta dhatu becomes mind. Anishta dhatu or sukshmatamaha dhatu becomes the mind. Stavishta dhatu, sthultamaha dhatu gets excreted. Madhyamaha dhatu remains in the body. Okay. But here maintained the sukshma of three elements. What is manaha? We can say annamayam manaha. Mind is annamayam. Means what? Subtlest aspect of the earth becomes the mind. Subtlest aspect of the water becomes the prana. Subtlest aspect of the fire becomes the speech. These three you have to remember. Sukshmatamam, subtlest aspect of the earth becomes the mind. Subtlest aspect of the water becomes the prana. Subtlest aspect of the fire becomes the speech. Swamiji's joke is there. All Western kind of cold countries, therefore they speak softly. You are from the, coming from the hot, okay? Maybe you are scream. For example, a reason for shouting, okay? I miss Kevinji today. Okay. Is he here? He's not here. Oh, see, you're here. I missed you today because you're the softest person. Whose speech is very soft, isn't it? Anyway, that is why Yennam Sul Sail. The prana stands for action. Okay, the word, speech stands for word and the thought. Thought, word and deed will be in alignment if you take care of your food also. So here Upanishad says, gives example, how does this samana prana, does this job of contributing, separate, it has to, food, all the food goes to the digestive system and then everything is digested and you have to apportion here. Oh, which aspect should go where? Maybe in science you see are differently. How, where carbohydrates more, needed more, where sugar should go for brain. You see, this different way of analyzing, isn't it? So here it says, the subtlest aspect has to be sent upwards. Or go up above the your hip, isn't it? The prana, speech and mind, all are above. Exquisite goes down. So it, she says, when you, it's like a churning of the buttermilk. We take the yogurt, not the unfat yogurt, fat-free yogurt, like a properly, the made curd, when you take, which has cream, lot of cream, isn't it? Then fermented, when you churn that yogurt, it has what? Butter is there. When the churning is done, what happens? Butter alone comes up. What is the subtlest aspect there in the yogurt? Butter. Isn't it? Butter comes up. That's why neetam, navaneetam, freshly comes up. It comes up. Butter comes up. It's not my example, okay? Nothing is from here, all from Upanishad. Butter comes up. The churning is done, subtlest aspect of the yogurt comes up. The same way, subtlest in the samana prana also, in our digestive system, the churning is happening. And when the churned, subtlest aspect of the food we have eaten, earth goes for the formation of the mind, for the speech, and for prana. Isn't it? So here Upanishad also uses these terms, sarpihi yatha. Sarpihi also means ghee. Why ghee? Butter alone becomes ghee, isn't it? We have another two more words also, ajyam, and we also have ghritam. Gross ghee, the solid ghee is ghritam. Melted ghee is ajyam. Sarpihi means both. Melted or solid ghee is what? Sarpihi. Melted is ajyam. Ghritam is now solid. So in the same way, when the samana prana also, when the food is taken in, or the water is taken in, and the fire element is what? No, fire element in the form of the fat contents taken in. The three you have to understand. Water, fire in the form of fat contents, and the other food taken in, earth, plants, etc. Then how they contribute for the formation of the whole makeup. So we'll continue this class in the next session, because I need to give a break for tea after we have Sanskrit class. We'll continue with the text next class. Okay, the textbook we'll see. Look in the textbook next class. We are going to see the same thing next class with the textbook. Okay? It will become very thorough. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ